You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Morning, everybody. As Denver said, look at this over here. My name is Randy Adams, if you're visiting with us today. And, you know, hopefully you guys were here last week for when Matt was preaching, Matt Robinson, our lead minister. Matt is such an encouraging guy, you know. He texts me through the week, you know, I'm praying for you and all that. And so just before I come up here this morning, he taps me on the shoulder and says, I'm praying for you that you don't screw up. So thank you, Matthew. We will have a discussion later. Truth is, I'm still better looking, so that's okay. It works out, right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So welcome. We're glad you're here, you know, especially since it is sunny outside. Yesterday was a day from hell. I mean, the weather was just terrible, wasn't it? So, but today is so beautiful. Driving in this morning, I was just like, wow, thank God for this. So it was pretty awesome. But before we go any further, though, this is a house of prayer. So let's take a moment, kind of calm our hearts down a little bit, and just ask the Lord to remove any distractions, because we're here to meet with Him, aren't we? So will you pray with me, and just open us up, having the Holy Spirit just fill this place. Pray with me, please. Lord God Almighty, we are so very, very thankful for who You are. And we ask that You would just enter into our hearts right now, that You would remove any distractions. Take away any thoughts, problems, issues that are just keeping us from hearing from You, Lord, and experiencing You this morning. May Your Holy Spirit fill this place. May You fill our hearts to overflowing with Your love. Lord God, we ask that we would be able to hear You speaking to us directly, and we ask that You would open our eyes to see You at work in and around us every moment. And now, Lord, as we enter into this time of worship, of looking into Your word, we just pray that You would be glorified. And it's in Your most holy and precious and beautiful name, name of salvation, that we pray. Amen. All right, so let me ask you guys, okay? You ever take some time to think about life? Okay, I can be a little bit introspective, maybe a lot sometimes, but seriously, have you ever just spent some time just sitting back and thinking about all your decisions, all the choices you've made, good, bad, all the conversations you've had, you know, throughout the years? Have you ever spent some time thinking about that, right? You know, choices kind of matter, don't they? I can tell you probably one of the best choices I ever made was begging my wife to marry me. I literally stalked her. I bribed her. I pleaded with her. I gave her the puppy eyes. I did everything possible to convince her that I was the man of her dreams. And so, you know, I chose to pursue her because I knew after one day with her that she was the woman I wanted to marry. And she made a choice. Wasn't as good as the choice I made. She chose to marry me. But from that choice, God blessed us with three fantastic kids. We have two sons and a daughter, and my sons each married a wonderful, beautiful, fantastic, lovely, smart woman. So they married way above where they should have. And my daughter married just a fantastic man who did survive my interview process. He survived my background check and me cleaning my shotgun while we were talking. So he earned my respect and he earned my approval. And I love my son-in-law, my daughters-in-law, as much as I love my own children. To me, there are no in-laws. They are my kids. And from those choices came six, soon to be seven, grandkids. We'll have our seventh in August. And we spent the time with them yesterday at the Air Force Museum. And I got to tell you, those grandkids, they're almost pushing Janet out as number one. I love those grandkids. Now, she'll tell you, she'll tell you, they already are number one in her life. So, but choices, right? Life teaches us about choices. And if anything that we've learned is that choices have consequences. So even though I don't make a lot of good choices, the choices I've made, they have ended up blessing me with some pretty awesome consequences called grandkids and children and a wonderful, beautiful wife. So What we're going to look at today is we're still in our message series about who was Jesus talking to, okay? And we're going to take a look at a conversation he had with a criminal in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. So if you want to turn there, you can go ahead. Conversations can lead to choices, and choices can lead to conversations, and those two things can lead to consequences, right? So now before we get to that conversation, I'm going to give you a little bit of some context, all right? So in chapter 23 of Luke, we see Jesus being led out to his place of execution, to the place of his crucifixion. Now, as I was studying for this message this morning, I came across a definition of the word excruciating. And I didn't realize this, but excruciating literally means out of crucifying. That's where that word comes from, right? So crucifixion was indeed excruciating. It was designed to be that way. It was a way, a most excruciating way, painful way to die. It was designed to be torturous. It's designed to be incredibly painful and a slow way of dying. Actually, it's been called one of the worst forms of torment, of torture, that leads to death that man has ever devised. Sad, isn't it? But the Romans used it, they're the ones who were crucifying Christ. They used it as a form of execution only for the most heinous of crimes and for rebels, for those that the Roman Empire deemed as being rebellious against their authority. And so we see Jesus being led out to this place of execution. He is being led out as a criminal. And he's going to be crucified between two other criminals, okay? And so Jesus and these two criminals, they have their hands and their feet nailed to a cross. And then those crosses are lifted up for all to see as a public display of Roman authority and power, as a public display of execution and humiliation. And so while Jesus is hanging on his cross, naked, bleeding, and in unimaginable pain, he's mocked and he's humiliated by the religious leaders, by the crowd around him, by the soldiers who were doing the crucifying, even by the very criminals who were being crucified with him. Those criminals also were ridiculing Jesus. We know this because in Luke chapter 23, verses 35 and 36, we're told, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah, if he is the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now Matthew, the disciple of Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, in his account of this crucifixion in chapter 27, says in verse 39 of that chapter, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads. Can you imagine? And then Matthew says in verse 44, in the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And yet Jesus prays for these people. He prays for them, and he asked for their forgiveness. In Luke, we read, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Oswald Chambers, who wrote My Utmost for His Highest, one of the most beloved devotionals out there, is quoted as saying, forgiveness is the divine miracle of grace. The cost to God was the cross of Christ. In order for God to forgive us, in order for us to have God's grace and mercy and to be cleansed from our sins and to have forgiveness, there had to be a cost. Our sin costs God dearly, and that cost was the cross of Christ. That's why, while our God hung nailed to that cross, in excruciating agony, on our behalf, in our place. He demonstrated the power and the meaning of his sacrifice by forgiving the very people who were murdering him unjustly. Jesus made a choice, and that choice was to forgive. He willingly sacrificed himself so that others, even his enemies, then and now, can be forgiven and saved if they choose to be. Now, there was another one with Christ on that day who also made a choice. And that's where we pick up the conversation. One of the criminals who was being crucified with Jesus, who had previously been ridiculing Jesus and mocking him, chooses to repent. And he expresses that repentance and his newfound faith in Christ when in Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 42, we see him rebuking the other criminal who was continuing to mock Jesus. We read in Luke, the criminal saying, "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That repentant criminal is demonstrating the very same attitudes and actions and faith that we see in these other passages of Scripture. Passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 7. "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." Psalm 32 says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity." Or, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found." Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." Then again in Psalm 51, "Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you." And the last passage of Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." Then back to Psalm 32. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them." This is what that criminal expressed on that cross. Think about it. Think about all the choices that that criminal must have made in his life, choices that ultimately led him to being executed on a cross. This criminal starts out ridiculing Christ, pouring out his own pain and anger upon Jesus. But then something happens. He makes another choice. Even in the last moments of his life, he turns away from all those previous bad choices, all those choices that put him on that cross, and he chooses to repent and to turn to Jesus. The criminal now sees the truth of who Jesus is and why Jesus is on the cross. And so he now makes another choice. And this choice is reflected in his conversation with Jesus. The conversation is short, just a few sentences. But that's all that is needed. Because you see, it's the heart that Jesus sees. And even in Jesus' own moment of agony, he loves this former enemy. Jesus is more concerned about this repentant criminal than he was about his own pain and suffering, about his own imminent death. Jesus' response to the criminal's choice is short and sweet. We read, Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus, God in the flesh, chooses to respond to this criminal's repentant faith. Jesus chooses to give this man grace and mercy. He forgives the criminal. Now, that same criminal who just moments earlier had been blaspheming God, to God's own face, in fact. Think about that. Think about how this applies to each of us here today, right? Why and how could this criminal and you and I be forgiven again? It comes down to the cross and God's choice. Because the cross is where God himself satisfied the full penalty for sin. The criminal's sins, our rebellion, our pride, our selfishness, and so much more. It's the cost of the cross that made it possible for God to give us his grace and his mercy. Without the cross and our trust in what it accomplishes for us, we wouldn't have had our bad choices washed away. Washed away by God's very own blood that was shed on that cross. You see, that criminal and anyone and everyone can have what God promises in such passages like Titus chapter 3, verse 5, when we read, "He," that is God, "saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit." Romans 5 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then finally in Romans 10, verse 10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." This is what that criminal on the cross professed, and this is what he was given. He had a conversation. That conversation expressed a choice, and that choice led to a consequence: salvation. So again, life is made up of choices, ours and God's, and choices have consequences. So let me ask you, which criminal are you? Okay? Which one would you be in this account? What choice have you made or will you make in regards to the cross, to God's offer of grace, mercy, and forgiveness? Will you be like the one who refused to truly repent and turn to Christ in faith? Or will you be like the one who did choose God's grace and mercy, who did act on that belief and put his faith in Christ? As long as you have breath in your lungs, you still have a choice. You can still have a conversation with Jesus. God's grace, his mercy, forgiveness, and help are always just one choice, one conversation away. And if you've already made that choice, if you've already chosen Jesus, then seek to live for him. Seek to live for him every day in every area of your life. applying His Word and the absolute truths that it contains to you, to your situation. There are three things that can help you with this. One is head, know the truth, heart, believe the truth, and hands, put the truth into action, right? Simple, easy to remember. The head, knowing the truth. How do we know the truth? How do we know the truth? We know it by reading the Bible. Keep coming to church. And when you can't come here, if you're traveling, find another Bible-believing church. Listen for the truth. Attend one of Parkside's Sunday morning small groups that meets each hour. They study the Bible. Join one of our small groups that meet throughout the week. They study the Bible. Listen to biblically sound teaching. All of this is so that we can better learn about God, about His love for us, and that we can learn about His commands, and we can learn about His plans for us. But the head, knowledge, that's only the beginning. Sometimes we get to the point where we think, hey, I know, that's all that's needed, right? No, that's just the beginning. That's the start of the journey. You have to have the heart. You have to be believing the truth, knowing the truth, believing the truth. You have to believe the truth in order for what you've learned to actually make a difference in your life. Knowledge without faith is powerless. Now the hands. Head, heart, hands. Putting the truth into action. Knowledge and faith without actions are just as useless as knowledge without faith is powerless. Did you catch that? All three of these things work together. God's truth should transform our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. What we know and believe will be revealed in what we do. So let me challenge you. Start living like a former criminal, one who has now been set free and forgiven. Living as one who knows the truth, who believes the truth, and who is continually applying the truth to every area of their lives. Summary, we are all criminals in God's eyes. Yet God loves you and I so much that He Himself died in our place. Jesus came to seek and to save you. He doesn't care who you are or what you look like or talk like or what language you speak or what religion you might have believed in the past. He doesn't care about what political party you favor or where you live or the color of your skin. And He certainly doesn't care about what you think of yourself or the things that you've tried to do to earn His approval. What God cares about is which criminal do you choose to be? So again, which one will you be? And what are you going to do about it now, today, right? Conversations, choices, they lead to consequences. So maybe you need to have an honest conversation with Jesus. Maybe you know about Him, but you don't truly know Him yet. And you hear Him knocking on the door of your life. Maybe you need to talk to Him about that. Or maybe, like many of us here in this room, we've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but there's some areas in our life that God still wants us to turn over to Him. Some areas that we're weak in, or some areas that He's calling us to do, and we're struggling. We need to have a conversation with Christ. We need to talk to Him. He's waiting. He's already there. And just like that thief on the cross, He's not going to shun you. That's why He hung on the cross, so that He can have that conversation with you. We're going to move into a time of communion. If you want to know more about Christ, if you want to know more about choices, if you want to talk about maybe some choices. Yeah, I'll be at the back of the room. Matt is here, Raina Shivers. But even more importantly, you could talk to God. You don't have to have me intercede on your behalf. You can talk to God because he's right here with you. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows exactly what you need. So take the time while we're having communion. This is an opportunity that God reminds us of who Jesus is, of what he did on that cross and why he did it. Take this opportunity to reflect on your choices, to consider how this little wafer in the communion little packet here, this wafer represents the body of Christ, the body that he sacrificed for us. The juice, this represents his blood that was shed on that cross, but also represents a new covenant that we now have between us and God himself. That we are saved by faith in Jesus, by faith in him alone. In who he is, faith in the truth of his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So before you take communion, let me pray for you. And let me ask God to bless this time as you have a conversation with him. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God Almighty, we are so thankful for you. I am so thankful, Lord, that you hung on the cross for my sins, and they are many. And I'm thankful that you hung on the cross for every single person who is in this room right now, and for all who would turn from their sins and turn to you. And so, Lord God, we pray that as we take communion this morning, that we truly remember who you are and what you did and why you did it. That we say, thank you for dying for me, for putting yourself in my place so that I could have freedom and have life. Thank you for the new covenant. Thank you that you washed away my sins by your very blood. So, Lord, I pray for everyone here that as they have a conversation with you this morning, that you truly would be glorified, that we'd be honest with you, Lord. It's your most holy and precious name, in that name of salvation we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.